Welcome to Take 5, a podcast brought to you by New Leaf Training and Development. Each edition is an inspiring interview with a leader worth listening to. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Paul Butler. I'm one of the client partners at New Leaf Training and Development, and I'm so delighted to be joined today by Will Dickerson, who is the Senior Trade Compliance Manager at Patagonia. Will, can you believe it? For 18 years now here at New Leaf, we focus on our core purpose of helping people in organisations better manage themselves, lead others and grow business acumen. I just wondered, what are your recommended best practices to help people and organisations be their best? But please do start though by telling us a little bit more about your organisation, what you do and who you serve. So over to you, Will, and I'll wrap it up when you're done.
Hey, Paul, good to see you again. Thanks for having me. So I'm the, like you said, Senior Trade Compliance Manager at Patagonia. And what we do is ensure full compliance with U.S. import and export laws, minimize any delivery delays due to customs hold, and optimize the amount of taxes and duties that are paid to the U.S. government. I've been in the industry about 20 years, and the last 5 years have really been transitioning from an individual contributor expertise type role to a people manager and building out a team here to support the work at Patagonia. In response to your question, I think a couple themes come up in my mind. From a leader's perspective, there's probably one thing we can all agree on is that leaders love employees who make their lives easier. Employees that project confidence, ownership of their field of expertise, taking responsibility for mistakes, asking for clarity if needed, proactively following up, et cetera, and receiving constructive feedback. So a mixture of confidence and humility, I think, is a really important trait for individual contributors and leaders at all levels. But how do you get there? You know, I was kind of ruminating on this. How do you be confident and humble at the same time? I think it's kind of a combination of internal, external factors, obviously your educational background, the technical expertise that you develop to get to be qualified for the job in the first place, and then understanding the job and where you find yourself in the team and the company culture, the company history, et cetera, et cetera. For example, when you're showing up for an interview, the best employees have researched what and read between the lines, what particular problems this role is looking to solve, and then selling how they help the boss to solve those problems. And that particular understanding and awareness of how they fit in and how they add value should increase over time. The first year, second year, as they learn more and more and develop their own awareness of their own skills and the environment in which they work, then proportionally there should be an increase in value. In addition, what I've been reflecting on lately is employees that know themselves as well, internal or self-work. And I think it's becoming more prevalent in educational curriculums these days, personality tests, for example, or just more regular counseling and therapy and so forth, really brings an added element of value in the sense that the employee knows what their strengths and limitations are, and at least in a particular framework, and how those play out in the team, the particular team and the boss and so forth in which they work. So that kind of intersection between what's needed and what you bring to the table, I think, is what makes a really valuable employee and asset for a future leader. So in my context, quick story, when I started at Patagonia, I had the technical background, expertise, licensed customs broker, et cetera, what they were needed, but I also sold myself as a person bringing process improvement and good at seeing gaps and opportunities. And that was reflected when I studied the Enneagram, which is one of the personality tests. It's just kind of a whole map of the human psyche. And there's other ones out there, but I found this to be the most valuable and applicable. Anyway, I kind of mapped on that as a type one, which is a reformer or often a perfectionist. So what can make me really good at my job and ensuring compliance and dotting I's and crossing T's can often go overboard in other contexts where perfection or, you know, precision isn't needed. So when I first started here, it was pretty easy for me to see gaps and opportunities and low-hanging fruit. But what I had to kind of learn first is I had to, especially at a privately held company that's has a long legacy and a lot strong history of storytelling, is that I needed to learn those stories. I needed to honor the culture and the history of what came before me. A lot of long-tenured employees from the beginning understand all that. And so I had to meet them and explain who I was and start to build a relationship and establish trust before I could kind of get to the place where I could introduce changes or suggestions. So kind of a slower pace of change than I would like to have had. So that was kind of a learning journey for me. And how do I find fulfillment outside of work in which they're not taking my suggestions, or it's just not the right time or the right place? And you could take that example like to the other extreme, in which a person who's comfortable with routine and doesn't like a lot of change finds themselves in a startup or some other fast-paced work environment or team that may not be the right fit for them long term. So it's kind of the opposite side of the spectrum. But all that to say is it's been a journey for me, and I think that any employees, especially when you're in 20s and 30s and you're up and coming and you're ambitious, you want to learn, you want to grow, you want to climb the ladder, the more self-work that you can put in on who you are, what your strengths, your limitations, your own history, perhaps your own trauma, and working through that and what you bring and how you express and how you project, the more you can become aware of that early on and communicate that to your boss and to your team, I think the stronger the bond will be, the stronger the teamwork, the stronger the trust. It'll be more beneficial for everyone. So that kind of intersection of your own technical background and educational and experience, but also your own self-awareness, is what I would really I would say is the most highly valuable employee.
Well, I really appreciate those insights, that kind of balance between that kind of technical skill and then the interpersonal skill, as it were. I really love the way you summarize that, and then the story as well, the way you personalize that. I just want to give a shout out to the subscribers to keep an eye on the events page for the activities that we have going on throughout the course of the year, most of which are available for free. Will, could I offer you a dreadful fist bump with an explosion?
Of course.
Completely down with the cool kids.
Bam. Thank you.
Will, thanks ever so much. It's so great to see you again.
Thanks, Paul. Take
Cheers,
care.
Will. Thanks again.
I hope you found that interview useful. And if you did, feel free to rate, review, and share this podcast. We'll be back next week with another episode. And we also invite you to check out our other weekly podcast, Going the Extra Mile, which is sure to lift your spirit and encourage you in today's working world. Bye for now.